Please be seated. If anybody would like a map this is a map of Jerusalem during Israel during Jesus' time, and I'll reference it kind of at the end of the sermon, but I have found that the more that I study the geography of the biblical geography, the deeper my understanding is. So hopefully this will help. So good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. This morning we read the account of Jesus' presentation at the temple. According to Jewish custom, 40 days after giving birth to a son, that child would be presented at the temple to be formally dedicated to God. This presentation included offering a sacrifice to signify the redemption of the firstborn son. The sacrifice offered on behalf of Jesus was a pair of turtle doves, or perhaps pigeons, because his parents could not afford a sheep. The presentation of the child and the sacrifice was symbolic of offering this child to God, and then the redemption of buying the child back from God. So today is Candlemas, and it's the 40 days after Christmas and all of that. It was not something that happened during Jesus' time, clearly. And in the 5th century, somebody in the church decided it'd be a good idea to light some candles today. So Candlemas is just sort of a reminder of the light of Christ that we bear into the world. And as Christians, we might think about this whole thing in the context of how we do with babies, how we do christenings, how we do baptism. At baptism, a child is marked as belonging to God with the words, "You are marked as Christ's own forever." Now we read that both Simeon and Anna recognized Jesus as the Messiah. Simeon has longed for the coming of the Messiah. The reading says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him." The Holy Spirit rested on him. Some people want to think, well, the Holy Spirit didn't come until Acts. But there's references all through the Bible that the Holy Spirit has always been hanging out with us. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Can you imagine that moment? Can you imagine how deep Simeon's longing for the Messiah was? How deep is your longing for the Holy Spirit, for Jesus to be in your life? So, you know, if you kind of step back and just read this as a passage, it's all nice, you know, and Simeon comes and Anna comes. They have these two prophets and they see the Messiah. But think about it in the context of the fact that the Messiah has been, Israel has been waiting for the Messiah for years. And here come these two prophets into the temple, and they see a baby, and they recognize that baby as a savior. To me, that is incredibly profound and such a powerful witness of the power of the Holy Spirit and God's power in our lives that I almost can't grasp it all. Simeon blesses the family. I get a little chill every time I read that little bit. Seeing this man who has waited his whole life and now is ready to die because he knows the Messiah has come. And he blesses the family. So Anna's presence is noted as Simeon finishes praising God. And the scripture tells us that she never left the temple, but prayed and fasted day and night. And as she entered the temple, she praised God and noted that the child was who they were looking for to bring redemption to Israel. The time was now. That now is the time of the Lord. That now is our now. That now is the time of our salvation. And that now is our time for peace. Not just any peace, but the peace of God that passes all understanding. Simeon and Anna declare that the moment is now, that the redemption of Israel has begun. Going forward, this is God's time. Going forward, they found and we will find our salvation because a new peace began that day and a new peace begins this day. Now, that peace that passes understanding. Both Simeon and Anna declare that the moment is now and the redemption of Israel has begun, and going forward, we enter God's time to find salvation and to find new peace. New peace. Think about those three things. So now, sometimes we don't really use the now. Sometimes in the now, I think, oh, well, I'll do it later. And then later, I think about how I lost the now opportunity to do something that the Holy Spirit was nudging me to do. And we get discouraged. I get discouraged and think, well, I can do it. So, and that was yesterday. So why would I bother with tomorrow? But the good news is that every day is a new now. Every day we have new opportunities to do something for Jesus. We gather this morning and we've seen the evidence of the Messiah. And then we say, well, that was a while ago. I wasn't there. How can I see that evidence? And some of us have felt it in our lives, seen it in our lives, believe it in our lives. There's different ways that we acknowledge the presence of the Messiah biblically and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives now. We see exactly what Anna and Simeon saw every time we celebrate the Eucharist. This is the now. This is where Jesus is right now with us. Together, we will find salvation. Together, we will experience a new peace, that peace that does pass all understanding. And together, as a family in the Church of God, we will be prepared for each now that comes before us. Sometimes we'll get them and sometimes we won't. But the point is never to look back, but always to look forward to what Jesus has in store for us. We see the Savior in the Eucharist, and we gather this morning because we know that the Spirit of God is with us. We gather here this morning to prepare ourselves to go into the world as messengers for Jesus. We are not to remain silent nor complacent. And when we get ready to quit our efforts and they seem to go unnoticed, or maybe they don't make any difference, any visible difference, we get to consider the fact that what we interpret as not doing anything or not working, sometimes it's just exactly what God needs us to do, what God asks us to do. We gather this morning because we know that the Spirit of God is with us. We gather here this morning to prepare ourselves to go into the world as messengers for Jesus. Now, sometimes we're ready to give up or quit, and our efforts seem to go completely out there somewhere. And when that happens, we have to sit down and remember Simeon and Anna and how they recognized the Savior and how Simeon took that baby in his arms and knew that he was the redemption of the world. And just because we missed an owl doesn't mean that we missed it completely. It doesn't mean that we're going to be fired or laid off, because the grace of God is there in a new now, something for us to consider right now. This is through the grace of God. You know, a lot of people ask, not a lot of people, but once in a while, at my brother's funeral, there was a gentleman, I may have told you this already, who was Jewish, a neighbor, and he walked in as people were just kind of gathering at the house, and he sat down in a chair, and he looked at me, and he said, "I understand that you're a priest." "No." "Yes." And he looked at me, and he said, "Well, what is grace? Can you explain to me what grace is?" So there's that really simple explanation, is that that grace is what we get from God that is good, that is not in any way deserved. It is God's unmerited love and favor for the creation of humankind, his creation of humankind. And it's a state of excellence that comes from God. Excellence. God is indeed excellent. And because of that, he makes us excellent. And as we move forward, it's a state of sanctification, a state of being sanctified through divine assistance. Those little things, pearls, are from, I don't know, some website, Webster or something. But the way they were listed and the way they were written, I found to be very interesting and fortifying to my spirit. Just a little aside, look at your map, if you have one. Find Jerusalem, somewhere up around the top there, find Jerusalem, and then go down and find Nazareth. They're a little small, it's kind of hard to find, but the point is to go from Jerusalem or Nazareth to Jerusalem. You would walk for 30 hours. How many of us would walk for 30 hours to bring something to God, to go to God for a blessing? We don't have to walk 30 hours, but we do have to be intentional about making sure that we don't put off the fact that we have to walk somewhere. Maybe not literally, but at least spiritually, we have to be on the move, and we have to be ready in the now. So having completed the Torah requirements, the Holy Family returns home to Nazareth, where Jesus will begin his ministry. Amen. Please stand. And we will say together the words of the Nicene Creed, which is the statement of faith of our church.